Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today. We're looking forward to a challenging dialogue and discussion on some issues that I think are prevalent and absolutely imperative that we understand as Christians and as Americans in particular. Ladies and gentlemen, the question is today, America changing? Question mark. Or you can turn around, do we see America changing? Is America changing? And if so, to what degree? Will we ever go back to normal? What things are changing that will make an indelible difference for the future of America? Will we ever be the constitutional republic that we have been for all of these years? Do you see anything that bothers you in the tectonic changes that we have been watching during the course of this pandemic? I pray that you'll stay tuned in today. I pray that you'll utilize the telephone number 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion on these very important issues that we're going to be talking about today. As we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of truth. And the scripture is very, very clear that it is the Word of God that is the only source of real truth. It's the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God that we need to turn to when we're seeking answers and directions as to what we should do and how we should respond in light of what is happening on the global basis today, especially when we think about the pandemic. And by the way, it has fallen far short of what we were told that it would be. As you know, we were told by the so-called authorities, that is, those with a white jacket, we were told that we'd have 2.2 million deaths in America if we did not shelter in place, if we did not shut down all of the businesses, that we'd have 2.2 million. That was a projection from a data set that was put in place by on a website that was designed and developed by Trump-hating Democrats. We talked about that on the previous broadcast. And today we're talking about the outlying events and things that are going to be talking about that is going to cause America to be changed indelibly. As we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of truth, as I said. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. And then he tells us further, what is truth really? And that is the word of God, the Bible. John 17:17, Jesus said, thy word is truth. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's exactly what we see taking place today in Washington, especially when it comes to Nancy Pelosi, AOC and the squad, Chuck Schumer and others, that are wanting to change America indelibly, change it into a socialist, Marxist, communist government system rather than the system that we've had for all of these years. But it was Jan Hus, I believe, that made the most profound statement in relationship to truth. He was a church reformer and 15th century theologian. Jan Hus said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And may I suggest to you that that ought to be the policy and the philosophy that we have as Christians. We ought not to simply follow blindly what the Communist Network News says. We ought not to follow blindly what some denominational dogma might say. We ought not to follow blindly what some political ideological bent may present. But we need to focus on seeking the truth and learning the truth, listening to the truth, loving the truth, living the truth and defending the truth, even if it means facing death as a result of it. Ladies and gentlemen, I am delighted that you've joined us. Let me remind you again that telephone number is 831-0917. Today we're talking about changing America, question mark. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just ask you a question. During the course of this cloud of hysteria and panic and fear that covers America, there's a very sinister, dangerous, and yes, I believe deadly change that's been taking place in America. Just as a master magician, you ever watched a master magician? They're on the stage and they get you to focus on their right hand or the left hand, whatever image they're showing you, whatever they're doing. And they want you to focus on that hand and not pay attention to the other hand, when it's in reality the other hand that's doing the magical trick, if you will, that you're not to see, that they're wanting that illusion to make appear as though it's coming from one hand. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we see taking place in America today. All the focus has been on the government's supposed concern for your health and for mine and for our well-being as citizens. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, some things have been taking place that seemingly have been unnoticed by the majority of the citizens. In fact, if you've noticed it, you've been silent. In fact, I'm seeing very, very little resistance to the government's, by fiat, without constitutional authorization, without legal authorization, without a law, but simply by fiat rules and regulations, by wannabe tyrant mayors and governors that have put in place restrictions in America. In fact, it was Rahm Emanuel, you know, which was President Obama's chief of staff, that said, never let a good crisis go to waste. And just recently, Democratic Representative James Clyburn said, Democrats must use the coronavirus panic and pandemic to mold America into the vision that it should be. And even Eric Holder, Obama's attorney general, said the coronavirus presents opportunity to make permanent changes in America. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and AOC and the whole band of socialist Marxist Democrats are today simply moving forward with policies and rules and regulations and passing bills, and making them into law that will change America forever. Change America forever. Perhaps you've seen some of these changes and you're concerned about them. Here's the article, part one of the articles about Eric Holder. Obama's Attorney General Eric Holder, giddy, that's G-I-D-D-Y, giddy about opportunity coronavirus presents to make permanent changes in America. He says the country's seen repeatedly the coronavirus pandemic as Democratic governors throughout the county or the country flex their political muscles to expand constitutional rights at the expense of constitutional rights. Or when Nancy Pelosi tried to hold up the coronavirus relief package to stuff it full of Democratic priorities American voters don't even want or share. For Democrats like former Attorney General Eric Holder, the coronavirus crisis is an opportunity to make changes in the American electoral system, and he says to do it permanently. Coronavirus gives us, he says, the opportunity to ramp up our electoral system so that it permanently becomes more inclusive and becomes easier for Americans to have access to it. Quote, it would be foolhardy to take these pro-democratic measures off the table after we get on the other side of the virus. These are changes that we should make permanent because it will enhance our democracy. No, ladies and gentlemen, it will destroy our republic. We're not in a democracy. We're a constitutional republic with a representative form of government. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over to your question or comment, please.
We are seeing major structural change. As you pointed out, the definition of truth, I'd have to once again say that the fundamentals of truth, the basis of truth, is fidelity to the original, sticking to the original. If you want to know the truth of a contract, you go to the original contract. You want to know the truth of the Bible, go to the Bible. You want to know the truth of the Constitution, go to the Constitution, go to those original arguments, go to the Federalist Papers, see what they were talking about, and that's why leftists are scared to death of originalist judges and justices. They are scared to death. They are petrified of sticking to the original. They want to have fundamental change, a shift toward, and by the way, we've been on this path for a long time. We are a republic. We were founded as a republic, but we've been going down the road of democracy or democratically in power government since 1913, when the 16th and the 17th Amendments were ratified. That allowed for the direct taxation of the people by the federal government and allowed for the direct election of the Senate by the people. That took away the checks and balances. The states had a check on the federal government because their legislatures would send representatives, i.e. senators, to the federal level. So basically, the senators would be that check and prevent things from taking place that would seize power, steal power away from the state government, thus protecting the 10th Amendment, ensuring the 10th Amendment that the federal government would not grow out of control. Now, since 1913, we've seen a steady progression. I think it's a digression. It's a negative move, but a progression toward straight democracy. And democracy, according to Alex de Tocqueville and Alexander Tytler and others, that always devolves to socialism. Democracy always devolves to socialism because people determine that they can vote for themselves things from the public trust. Today, people are being sent checks to sit at home. AOC wants them to keep sitting at home and keep getting checks. Understand, this is their dreamland. This is
AOC, perhaps our people, our listeners do not know this. AOC said that she believes that the people should refuse, quote, workers in America should refuse to go back to work, and the government needs to send everybody a $2,000 a month check. That's AOC's position. If you wonder where she stands, that's total 100% communism / socialism. Socialism is communism light.
Right, and we're headed down that path so very quickly, and they are, again, using this crisis to bring this about. But we have multiple crises, whatever, taking place simultaneously. The beef between Russia and OPEC on production of oil, of course, led us to a negative oil price the other day on the futures because they have no more. I mean, literally, we are at a maximum production that we've ever seen in human history, while at the same time we're in the lowest demand. Supply and demand, you know, went into full X pattern. Demand disappeared to the downside, and supply was off the charts to the upside. Everybody knows, I'm sorry, every legit economist knows that prices are driven or should be driven by supply and demand. And that's what's taking place. And of course, AOC is, I mean, she's giddy about this kind of thing. She'd like to see all the oil companies go bankrupt and, you know, let's subsidize the crud out of solar and electric cars and things that don't make sense right now. Windmills, you know, we could chase that rabbit for a long time. It's absurd. But from a macroeconomic standpoint, we've been operating under the petrodollar since about 1974, 1973, 74, somewhere there. We left the gold standard, and under Nixon, we worked to deal with the OPEC nations. We'll provide you with security, and you sell your oil in U.S. dollars. The oil is not sold by OPEC nations in the yen, the yuan, the rio, the rupee, all, you know, any other currency in the world. It's sold in dollars. It gives an artificial dollar demand to the marketplace. The entire world needs U.S. dollars. Now, that is in jeopardy today. By the way, back up just a second. The petrodollar explains why we involve ourselves so oftentimes in Saudi Arabia, you know, in defense of them and all these other OPEC nations. We'd have no need to be over the Middle East many times, except for the fact that we've got to preserve the value of the U.S. dollar. You know, I am convinced 95% of college graduates never get taught anything about the petrodollar. They don't understand currency. They're taught economics many times by socialist economic professors that have abandoned the ideas of supply and demand, and they've abandoned anything that would support a firm, secure, strong dollar. By the way, I'm going to have to go. I'm doing the daddy do list today. I'm sure folks listening out there, they understand what a daddy do list is. I happen to be 500 and some odd miles away from home, and I'm enjoying time with my daughter, my son-in-law, and my grandson. So special time. But you also get the daddy do list. You understand that. But
yes, you're not spoiling that grandson, are you?
Maybe just a little bit. But
by the way, you touched on that about the petrodollars, and just for our listeners' benefit, on our broadcast Monday, Lord willing, we'll be talking about oil, the Middle East, and prophecy. The oil, Middle East, and prophecy. What's the nexus? What's the connection? What does the Bible say about that? And should we be concerned or interested in the negative oil price on a global basis that we're watching today? You touched on that, and I'm glad that you did. That introduces it for our listener as to where we'll be going and what we'll be talking about on the next broadcast on Let's Face the Issues. But thank you for calling in. Thank you for your comments. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, for those that didn't recognize the voice, this is Greg, one of our four sons. I'm thankful for Greg's interest in and his concern for what is taking place in America, and especially when it comes to the constitutionality of some of the events that are taking place. Greg, thank you so much for calling. God bless you and have a great day. Hug that great grandson of ours for us in our absence, that he's got a smile that's a million-dollar smile, as some would call it, but I'm thankful for you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the changes in America that we see taking place. Did you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that we've seen a tectonic change when it comes to governmental intervention and governmental control in relationship to our churches? Most of you are aware of the fact that most pastors, most Christians, of those that are in Christian leadership today are simply continue to hide under the closet, hide in the closet or under the bed, waiting for the government to give permission to come back out and worship. Many have tried alternative forms of worship. Some pastors have been made a little renown across America. They've gotten on the rooftop of their church buildings, and they preach from a bullhorn so that people can pull up in the parking lot in their cars and listen to the message. Churches have been fined. Pastors have been jailed. Christians have been fined $500 apiece for listening to a message in their automobiles on the parking lot of churches, and this has happened in place after place after place, and city after city around America. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, we've seen the repression of Christianity, Christian voice, Christian free speech. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, did you realize that there's not one mosque that I know of? In fact, I've got a fistful of articles, but there's not a mosque that has been closed during the course of this pandemic. In fact, in New York City alone, here's an article that says New York mosque still open daily for prayers while churches across the country face mandatory shutdown. A mosque in New York is reportedly still open for daily prayers amid the coronavirus pandemic that has forced Christian churches across the country to close their doors and cancel their in-person gatherings. While churchgoers in many states have been criticized and even punished for continued gathering, that same level of scrutiny has apparently not been leveled on the mosque in America. One in particular was the Mosque of Jesus, as it's called, and the Son of Mary in Syracuse, New York. Despite the state's executive order, which proudly bans all non-essential gatherings, including individuals of any size for any reason, including churches, neighborhood Muslims are still allowed to gather together in their mosque and prayer rooms and a call for prayer throughout the week, week in and week out. Did you know that? Did you know that the mosque have remained open, and yet churches have been forced to close and threatened, and as a result of that, pastors have crawled under the bed or in a closet. Christian workers have been hidden. Multitudes of Christians, and perhaps you're listening to me, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. You can dial that number. The call gets you directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can have dialogue and discussion about the issues. We're going to be talking about today 10 things, and you might have others, and you can feel free to call in and let's talk about them. 10 things that I believe have indelibly changed America that will never go back to normal as a result of these changes. One of those changes is, ladies and gentlemen, that of government now proven. Government now has proven that they can say churches close and churches will close. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if that's the case as a result of this so-called pandemic, this so-called crisis, and listen very carefully, lest you're listening and you think I'm wanting to be anti-government, lest you think that somehow, some way, because of what I'm saying, that it means that we need to have anarchy in America. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I am saying that we need to trust God, fear God, obey God, and not fear government and obey government just because of the whims and the wishes of what government might say. There is a crisis, but it's a crisis of the Constitution in America. Here's an article that says a crisis is never a time to destroy constitutional liberty. State and local governments are mandating public measures to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Some political officials, in their attempt to minimize the spread, have imposed restrictions that violate, this is where I stand, ladies and gentlemen, that violate citizens' constitutional liberty. The article further says constitutional rights are nonpartisan issues. Regardless of political party affiliation, our leaders need to be reminded of the citizens' constitutional rights. Further, the article says, however, the government must not treat religious institutions differently or unfairly in the comparison to how government treats other comparable institutions and/or gatherings. For example, the government can't place more restrictions, more restrictive limits on attendance at religious functions than it limits in places of non-religious entities like supermarkets or building supply stores, etc. And I'll pause for a moment with this article. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize that during the course of this total pandemic shutdown, we've had major box stores open, we've had pot shops still open, we've had the abortion clinic still open, we've had multitudes of things that were considered essential services, and liquor stores of all things should have never been considered essential service. So listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. The restriction that's been placed on our churches in America as a result of the coronavirus and the forced shutdown of churches across America is an absolute unconstitutional, illegal, unbiblical act, and yet the government has proven that all they need to do is say shut down and churches will indeed shut down. This article says, even in times of crisis, constitutional rights such as religious liberties do not ebb and flow. Instead, liberty is cemented in our national founding documents. Further, it says, the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution are the documents. These rights are unchangeable, yet reports indicate state and local governments treat them as fluid and have violated all of our constitutional rights and liberties. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't have said it any more succinctly than that statement was made, and I believe that statement is correct. And it is from the American Family Association, Rob Chambers, out of the American Family Association. And I'm finding, ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful for it, that a number of these national recognized Christian organizations are just now coming around. After about 8 or 10 weeks of churches being forced to close and repression against Christianity and spiritual things and being people, now many of these so-called Christian organizations are just now coming around and realizing we've had our liberties modified, modulated, and completely shut down in so many of the cases, as we have seen. Yes, we're talking about changes in America. The question, is America changing? Yes, we're seeing changes in America, and these changes are indelible, irreparable, and I believe they will be permanent. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll never be the same. Multitudes of smaller churches perhaps will never reopen. In fact, I've read some statistical data and some information and some polling in relationship to that. And it is said that perhaps as many as 5% of the churches in America will never be able to permanently reopen again after the shutdown. According to a recent poll, tithes and offerings are down across America in churches of all denominations by 67%. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you talk about restaurants closing and many of them not being able to open. You're talking about the fact that we've got about 27 million people as of this week that's out of work. We think about the fact that many of these restaurant owners, many of these business owners will go belly up or bankrupt, as it is legally called, as a result of it. And yet there's nothing said in a concerning fashion on a public forum and a public forum basis about the danger, the damage, and the irreparable position that it puts churches in as a result of that. Yes, I know. Yes, I'm familiar with the fact that the government is now offering reparation in the sense that just as a business, a restaurant, or other businesses can go in, make application for government-guaranteed, government-backed SBA loans, and that they will be approved. They're saying now, in fact, there's some of the so-called Christian organizations, some famous Christian preachers and Christian advocates that say it's okay for churches to go in and have the hand at the window and allow the federal government to fund them so that they can be bailed out by federal dollars. Ladies and gentlemen, that will be a double whammy. It's bad enough that churches have said yes to the closing without any stand-up. There were a few across America, yes. We probably had a couple of dozen, maybe three dozen pastors and churches that said, we're not going to close. We're going to continue to minister. We're going to continue to preach and teach. Some of them were thrown in jail. Some of them were fined. Some of them are still in the process. We have over three dozen and perhaps as many as four dozen now cases that have been filed, legal cases that have been filed by constitutional attorneys for the protection of churches and Christians and pastors and the liberties that we have in our First Amendment. Our First Amendment is very, very clear, and yet we have so many today that are confused about whether or not churches should close. The First Amendment says Congress shall make no laws respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Ladies and gentlemen, the First Amendment also says that the people have a right to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And yet there's been an attempt by governments in America, with mayors and governors across America, to shut down any protest that has taken place in the demands of people saying, let's go back to work. That's taken place in Atlanta. That's taken place in New Jersey. That's happened in Michigan. That's happened in state after state across America, where people in huge caravans of cars, one had over 1,000 vehicles in it, where people waving signs, honking the horns in front of the Capitol buildings or the state houses across America saying, we want to go back to work. And yet governors and mayors have shut them down on the basis that those demonstrations were considered illegal. Why were they considered illegal? Because they went against the mayors and the governors' rules and regulations that were arbitrary and capricious that said you cannot gather, you cannot get together as a group. Ladies and gentlemen, that won't hold water in a federal court, especially if the courts, the process got to the U.S. Supreme Court. And yet we're watching that take place across America. In fact, the leftists, ladies and gentlemen, the leftists do not even want the shutdown to end. The socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats do not want the shutdown to conclude. They want to continue with it because as they continue it, then more and more funds are allocated for the giveaway programs to literally set up the shadow government that I've talked about for many, many, many years now that we've had operating in America, a shadow government. And this is the opportunity of that shadow government to stand up and to become the real government in America. And that's nothing less than the socialist, Marxist, communist system. Here's an article that says, I'll read a portion of it. It's a lengthy article. Leftists don't want the shutdown to end because they're living out their wildest dreams. As the ongoing Chinese coronavirus pandemic turns out to be far less deadly than previously feared, certain segments of the population are itching to get America's economy rolling again, except although we were initially told to hunker down for a few weeks to flatten the curve. The goalposts were moved as soon as the original goals were met. Now, a significant chunk of people seemingly want the lockdowns to last forever or until a vaccine is developed, whichever comes sooner. Interestingly, the politics behind who wants to get back to work and who wants to keep their PJs on and continue their week-long slumber party ad infinitum are blatantly obvious. Many of the right were concerned about coronavirus ever seeing since hearing about the strange happening in Wuhan, China. Further, the article says the left, on the other hand, is in no hurry and could blame them? Of course, later they witnessed many of their most insane policies and goals come either to fruition or within palatable reach, and they aren't about to let some protesters try to feed their families and get in the way of progress. And it goes on to talk about the different things that they're wanting to do from the standpoint of the left. We're talking about the left. We're talking about the loose, lax, lost left, as I call them. We're talking about the socialist Marxist group that wants a socialist form of government. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We're going to take about a one-minute break for the top of the hour news. We'll be right back. We're looking at 10 things that have changed America forever.
Forever. This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.